Now, the epistle to be read for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind, charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away, whether prophecy shall be made void, or tongue shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this word was hid from them. And they were understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I would like to begin, my dear people, by telling you a true story that was recorded in an old catechism book at the end of the 19th century. The story is about an old hermit, a certain elderly woman, and charity. This priest records that there was an old hermit who had lived for many, many years in solitude, practicing prayer and performing great external penances, such as fastings and watching all night, that is, praying through the night. One day he actually began to imagine that he just might be the holiest person in the world at that time. Well, while he was thinking these thoughts, God mercifully and in a most extraordinary way revealed to him that he was not so advanced in perfection, but especially in charity, as he imagined he was. God then revealed to him that a certain poor servant maid who worked in an inn in the nearby town was holier than him. The old hermit was astonished. How can it be possible, he thought to himself, that a simple servant maid who actually works in the world at an inn can surpass me in perfection and in the love of God, when I have lived in solitude and prayer and fasting all these years? He thought to himself that he must go to the city. He must go find this servant maid and ask her, as it were, "What are you doing that I am not doing?" And thus he set out for the city, determined to find her. Upon arriving, the old hermit immediately went to the inn, and there he found the servant maid. She was dressed in rags, but she was working, doing her work, dusting, cleaning, washing, serving. And he approached her. He told her who he was, and then he told her why he made this journey to see her. He told her that God had revealed to him that she had surpassed him in holiness and in charity, and he wanted to know why. And thus he asked her. He said, "What do you do? What do you possibly do that makes you more perfect than me?" Now, you can only imagine the servant maid's reaction. Can you imagine if somebody approached us and asked us, "Why are you more perfect than me?" If such a thing could ever happen, right? You can only imagine her reaction was quite taken back, surprised, astonished, even shocked. She answered him, "I don't know how this can be. I do not know what God would see in me that would please him so much. I am only a poor, uneducated, ignorant servant maid. I have no learning. I do the most menial tasks. I do not perform great penances like you. I do not fast and watch through the night in prayer." She said, "All I do is to endeavor to perform all my actions with the greatest care and for the love of God. And I do this that I may be pleasing to him, and that I may be thus, I may please him. And thus I always strive to unite my will to God's will, and to accept, to embrace whatever he sends me, whatever he allows to happen to me. When, for example," she says, "I am carrying wood for the kitchen fire, I think of the love of Jesus and carrying his cross for me. And then I tell him that I love him because he is so good. And this I do in all my other works, whether I am washing towels, linens, or mopping floors, I'm doing it for him." I always try, she concluded, to love him and to think of Christ in some way or another in my daily life. Whether it is working, whether it is suffering, whatever it may be. The old hermit, then, who had lived so long in solitude, who had performed great exterior penances, did not advance so far in holiness as he thought he did, as did this simple servant maid. And it's for one very specific, particular reason why. Everything she did for the love of God. What he did was mixed with his own love of himself. There was pride in his heart. His love for God was not so perfect. Yes, there was love for God in his heart, but not like hers. Her charity was thus greater than his. The external penances of the hermit were in themselves greater, but the pure motive of that simple woman made her advance to a higher degree of holiness than him. She was thus humble. She was patient. She was kind. As we read in St. Paul's epistle today, charity is patient. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. She did not envy others. She dealt with others in an honest way. She was not puffed up or ambitious. And here's a very important one. Well, they're all important. Here's a very practical one. She never sought to do her own will. She never sought her own way. It was always about God. How I was reminded of this yesterday as I sat at the gate in Albany for 2 hours on the airplane. That it's not about us, it's about what God wants. And I told the gentleman next to me, who was very upset, and he seemed to calm down after I said to him, because he was talking about my line of work. And I said to him, well, you know, whether it's a mechanical problem or a weather problem, God has decided he did not want this plane to go. And it's up to us now to say, thy will be done. Then we started talking about his career at GE and engineering and things. But that's what it's all about. It's all about God's will. And we conforming to him. She believed, she hoped for all things, as St. Paul wrote today, she endured all things. And thus did she see sin as the greatest evil in the world, and obeying the commandments of God as the greatest love in the world. She truly had a great charity, and she achieved great holiness in her very simple but exalted, as it were, state in life. If you were to ask me simply, what is charity really all about? I would tell you this. I would tell you what St. Thomas Aquinas said it is. Charity is very simply friendship with God. It's friendship with God. It's a mutual friendship that is only destroyed by mortal sin and is endangered by a habit of willful and deliberate venial sin. Now, this Wednesday, as I mentioned, is the beginning of Lent. It is Ash Wednesday. It's the day that Holy Mother Church reminds us that our bodies are dust, and unto dust they shall return. And I know we will not have Mass here on Ash Wednesday, but on the next time you have Mass, Father will bring blessed ashes, and he will impart ashes on you. For the reception of ashes is an ancient sacramental of the Church. But you know, my dear friends, something to consider. Before we are actually put into the ground, as it were, upon our death, we're going to be judged. If we die in the state of mortal sin, we will go to hell for eternity. If we die in the state of grace, we will be saved and we will go to heaven forever. And when all is said and done, you know that's the only thing that really matters. And that is why we must obey the commandments and ever strive in all things to do God's will, to be united to God's will, as His will is presented to us. Whether by the duties of our state in life, if we are married, if we are single, or if we are priests, or the various circumstances of life that arise, sickness, pain, inconvenience, difficulty, that's God's will. That is God manifesting His will to us. We must not seek to do the least. We must not seek to do the least and expect to be saved. People who do the least to love God and serve God are not saved. People do not go into heaven by doing the least. Rather, we must seek to become holy no matter what our state in life may be. Because holiness is not just for priests and religious. As I often remind people in our parishes, it's not just the priests and the sisters who have the duty to become holy. It's everyone. Everyone according to their state in life is called to holiness. Our Lord, when He walked this earth, He once said, "Be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is also perfect." And this was not a suggestion. This was not like a counsel. This would be a good thing for you all to do, to be perfect. That is spiritual perfection. This is actually a divine command. It is a commandment that binds under pain of sin and imposes upon us all an obligation to strive to be holy. For as I say, that's how we fulfill the commandment to be perfect, by ever striving to be holy, striving to be faithful to prayer, practice of virtue, etc. If we do this, as did that servant woman, with a humble and pure heart, our Lord will not permit us to be lost. If we truly and sincerely strive to become holy, as St. Paul outlines in today's epistle, to be patient, to be kind, to envy not, to deal with not perversely, not to be ambitious, but to seek to do God's will and not our own, our Lord will not allow us to be lost. He's too good. But on the other hand, if we tempt God and live a life of sin, that's when one's salvation is in great danger. when they willfully and deliberately want to live in sin. God has promised to save those who repent, but he never promised anyone the time to repent. On the contrary, he has said that death comes like a thief in the night. Some of you perhaps are familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins. There were 5 foolish virgins and 5 wise virgins. And the 5 foolish virgins were not prepared when the bridegroom came. And the door to the feast was shut to them. And when they knocked to get in, they heard the dreadful words from the bridegroom, who represents Christ, "I know thee not," just as the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins represent the souls of all mankind. The 5 foolish virgins thus represented all who die in the state of mortal sin and are shut out of heaven for all eternity. And why? Because they were not ready. They were in mortal sin when their souls left their bodies. St. Paul says in today's epistle, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass." And you notice when he said, "If I should have prophecy and know all the mysteries," that is, if one knew all the mysteries of faith and all the mysteries about God, "and yet have not charity," he says, "they are nothing." They are nothing. And what St. Paul is saying here is that faith alone, it's not enough to believe in God. As how often we hear it today, how often I meet people who say, "Well, I'm Catholic, but they don't practice anything. I'm Catholic." That is not enough to save anyone, to just say, "I'm Catholic," or "I believe." To suggest that faith alone is sufficient for salvation is to lie and deceive. For faith alone is not sufficient. One must have charity. One must love God. One must keep his commandments. And if one is striving to keep God's commandments according to their state in life, they have charity. And in their charity, they are loving and forgiving towards all others. God never abandons his friends, and we are God's friends if we have charity. And you know, each year at the beginning of Lent, the church reminds us of this as we begin this long journey to Calvary. You notice in the gospel today, it begins with our Lord telling the apostles that he's going to go up to Jerusalem soon. And he's going to be arrested, he's going to be spit upon, he's going to be scourged, he's going to be put to death. The apostles didn't see it. And no sooner he meets a blind man. The blind man is us. The blind man is us who do not fully see how much Christ loves us. In his passion and death, and to what extent, to what length he went to save us. We are blind to this. Very often we don't fully grasp it. To what extent he loves us, and thus to what extent we are moved, how we should love him, as St. Paul gives us the directions of how to be charitable in today's epistle. Strive this Lent to give time to consider Christ's passion and death. There are so many beautiful books, inspiring books, about the passion and death of Christ that we could read just a little bit from each day and to fill our hearts and our minds with Christ crucified, of that thought of how much He loves us and how charity ought to reign in our hearts for Him. Charity, St. Paul said, is the greatest of all virtues because it's the only one that unites us to God. It's greater than faith in a certain sense. It's even greater than faith. And why? St. Paul explains, because in heaven, faith and even the virtue of hope are going to go away. And they're going to give way to the beatific vision. That is, seeing God face to face as He is. We can't even describe that. It's beyond human description. But charity will never go away. Charity will endure for all eternity. It will unite us to God in heaven and unite the saved in heaven with one another. Let us then practice charity, the greatest of all virtues. Ever mindful of the teachings of St. Paul, which the Church presents in today's epistle, in which that humble servant maid excelled in. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own. Charity is not provoked to anger, it thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth in iniquity, not in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. Charity, St. Paul concludes, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And in the end, my dear friends, we may add, charity secures for us eternal life. May Our Lady, who is the Mother of Divine Grace and the Lady of Sorrows, may she obtain for us at the beginning of this Lent the grace to practice a greater charity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.